A message today focuses on who is Jesus. I want you to always notice something about when I present the gospel. I will never use Jesus in the past tense with the exception of telling what he did in the past tense. Because our Savior always lives in the present tense. From generation to generation, Jesus is. From generation to generation, Jesus always will be. Now, when Jesus came, he came as a direct gift from God the Father. God loves you and he loves me so deeply that he was ready and willing to give his only begotten Son that you and I could find that peace that so many thought they could never find. We go out into the world and we try everything that the world offers and we come back home and we're still empty. The young lady that was reading the Bible and kept reading the Bible and reading the Bible and saying, you know, preacher, I've read the Bible over and over and over again. I have been through that Bible so many times I cannot count, and I don't get anything from it. And here was the answer. Young lady, you let that Bible go through you one time and you'll get all you can ever handle. It is not the focus of you going through the Bible. It is the focus of allowing the Word of Almighty God, which is the Bible, to go through you. Allow Christ to teach you. Allow His love to be a part of your love. Now, when you know that Jesus loves you, you will never experience a greater love than that. The greatest love that you will ever have in your life is the love of Christ. How do I know He loves me? He gave His life for me while I was still in a sinning state. Well, preacher, does that mean you don't sin? No, it means that I am sinful by nature. But now, the nature in which I dwell, this human existence, in itself is sinful, but the Christ in me is not, and He saved me. Who is Jesus? The question must be asked individually. That question you must ask to yourself. Who is Jesus to me? Who is this Christ in my life? Who do you want Him to be in your life? I have the Holy Word of God, and in God's Holy Word, He teaches us that Christ is all in all. And God says, look to me, for when you look to me, I am all in all. I am who I am. I am the everything that you need. I am the all that you can handle. You can't handle any more than me. I am the giver of life. I am the sustainer of life. I welcome you to a new life. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No ifs, ands, or buts. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was a gentleman many years ago in our congregation. When I made that statement, he said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that when you call on the name of the Lord, that you can be saved. For if that's a fact, then everybody would call on the name of the Lord. And I said, no, they won't. No, they won't. You mean to tell me that I can go right over here to the golf course? I said, well, you can go over there after church. But I can go over to the golf course And I can say to those people, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe this? Are you telling me that there's people that would say no? I said, that's exactly what I'm saying to you. For you cannot call on the name of the Lord unless you're under conviction by the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it. So he goes that afternoon after church. He goes. Middle of the week, he comes back in to see me. I never saw anything like it. You're right. I said, no. God's word's right. I was just telling you how it is. Not everyone will say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, they didn't. And they wouldn't. So I said, told you so. That's the nature of man. God says, oh, when I touch their heart, they're going to receive a message. And the message that I have for them is I love you. I love you when you're right. I love you when you're wrong. I love you. So if an individual is truly seeking out love, wanting that true love, then they call on the name of the Lord and he shall show them what true love is all about. That's who Jesus is. He says, I want you to know, there's a word that I really want you to pay attention to. And that word is providence, providential. The protective care of God in Christ. Now, I used it that way as a definition, but it goes much, much, much deeper than that. It's the providence of God. Meaning God says, I'm in control of everything. If something's going on in your life, I may not have caused it, but I will make it turn out for your good if you trust me. When I'm telling you something is wrong, you've hesitated on doing something, and you say, well, I've hesitated too long, so therefore I missed it. As long as you have breath in your body, you haven't missed it. It's not an accident for all those countries, 133 countries that are listening this morning, for our radio audience, for those who are here. It's not an accident that you're listening. There's a purpose for it. And that purpose, one of them, I know what it is. That purpose is for you to hear God loves you. And God says, I want you to know who my son is. He is the providential power in your life. Now, what does that truly mean? It means that everything that goes on in my life, God either allows or he causes. Now, God allows me to have a case of the stupids. He allows me to do that. Now, I'll admit, I have had more than my fair share of the case of the stupids in my life. But do you know, on the other side of stupid, God still loves me. Do you ever do something that's just downright dumb? I know these terms are not politically correct for you, and I don't really care. But it's a fact of life. That's just a fact. Kids do dumb things. But let me help cheer you up, kids, young people. You don't do as many dumb things as the seniors in your area do, meaning your own parents. Why do you think your parents said don't do that? They've already messed up and done it and know they don't want you getting there. That's because they love you. Well, Jesus has seen all the messed up lives since creation. Do you know that he knew you before creation ever began? That makes you pretty important. But God says, my providential power surrounds you. No enemy can subdue you. No authorities outside of me can direct you. That's who Jesus is. I got Jesus in my life. And I have his providential power that surrounds every activity in my life. Well, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the week. Do you ever say that? I remember well. And Faye and I, after Jason, our son, came along, and we wanted a pizza. We didn't have enough money to get the pizza. We did not have enough money to get a pizza. You know, when you're hungry for junk food like pizza, you're going to find it some way. Jason had a piggy bank. And as any good parents would do who wanted a pizza, we convinced our son that he wanted one too. And his piggy bank was going to have to cough it up. Since then, we've tried to help put back in that piggy bank. But God says, I don't care where you are in life, I don't care what situation you find yourself in life, I'm better than your piggy bank. And I want you to know that I'm always there. I'm watching you. I see your need. Well, you mean to tell me that the Lord wanted you to have a pizza? I mean to tell you he didn't stop us from getting it. So I took that as it's okay. But it's a fact. See, you and I are human beings. And Jesus sees our humanity. He knows your weakness. He knows your strengths. See, he gave us our strengths. Nature gives me my weakness. Christ gives me my strength. And the strength that Christ gives us is an everlasting strength. A strength that supersedes all that exists. A strength that God says is providential. Listen to Colossians 1. Verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. So, Jesus has created all things through the power of God the Father. And God the Father says, it's yours, son. And Jesus said, Lord, Father, I want to share it. I want to give it away. It's yours, son. Do with it as you please. And then Jesus asked the Father, Father, those then that I give it to, you give to me. And Father, those that you give to me, I pray that they will be with me forever and ever and ever. You got it, son. So let it be written. So let it be done. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. We're the church. We are the physical body of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. The church, the human part of the body of Christ, the church. And we're to take the message of who Jesus is to a lost and dying world because we're the church. And as the church, Jesus says, you are my family. I belong to the family of God. I'm the child of a king. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I know Jesus. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. You want to know who Jesus is? I'm reading it. So that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus says, I'm in charge. So knowing then that Jesus has surrounded me with his providential power, Jesus has let me know he's in charge. What can man do to me? What authority does man have? man does not have such an authority. He cannot overrule God. God says, that's my child. You do not mess with the child of God. That's why you pray for your enemies. They're in deep trouble when they mess with you. Pray for them. Lord, have mercy on them. They don't know what they're doing. It seems like I remember a prayer like that going up from heaven. Going up from a cross. Do I remember that? Don't I remember a Savior? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. What a prayer. So I'm forgiven in my ignorance because I don't know what I'm doing. But Christ died that I would be forgiven in the sin that I knew I was committing. And he said, I forgive you. How much more love do I want? How much more authority do I want? We have the authority of Almighty God from Almighty God and His protection. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is. And Jesus is in me. And Jesus is in you if you're Christian. Jesus can be in you if you will invite Him in. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 19. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, in Jesus. God said, you want to see me? You can't look upon me and live. So I will let you see me in my Son. Jesus Christ, 100% man, 100% God. And you say, I can't figure that out. Let me tell you something. If you've got your God figured out, you're serving the wrong God. If you think that you've got God figured out, you got the wrong God. Because God is not man. God is not man that he should lie. And he says, I love you, Larry. I knew you before anything existed. Jesus knew my name. I wonder if he called me Larry Pete before anything existed. But he knew me. He knows you before anything ever existed. And you know what? He saved you. Knowing you're going to be the individual that do the dumb things later on, he saved you anyway. He did not reject me because of my foolishness. He loved me and always welcomes me back to the cross the way you would welcome a child. I cannot mess up so much that my Savior will ever deny me. You hear me? I know Jesus. I know who He is. And I know that He is in me. Not out of anything that I've done, but over all that He has done. And you know the key to that finished, the done part? You know what the word is? Love. Love. Jesus really does love me. He really does love me. Randy, He really loves me, and He knows me, and He loves me anyway. Woo! That's love, people. That's love. He says, I know who you are, but I know who my Son is. And my Son is in you. And that's good enough for me. God says that's good enough for Him. If it's good enough for Him, I'm tickled to death about it. Aren't you thankful that you have a Savior that loves you anyway? Larry, I want you to explain yourself. You know, God has never asked me that. Larry, you got splaining to do. You had to be raised in my generation to understand that term, splaining. Never, because He knows me. He knows my inner being. He knows who I am. He knows who He is in me. And I know He is in me. And through Him to reconcile to Himself all, let me start at 19 again. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's the story. That's the story of my life. That's the story of my salvation. That's the story for the salvation of the world. That cross. The one who went there. Did you know the crucifixion was so vile and so harsh that the Roman government would never allow a Roman citizen to be crucified? That's how bad it was. No. It's too bad. No Roman citizen can be. Let's kill Jesus. And a priest said it this way. For the good of the church, kill Jesus. He didn't realize he was prophesying. For salvation could only be attained by the one who went on the tree. And Jesus said, Larry, I take it for you. I got you. Because I am. I am who I am. I am all in all. I am the one who was, who is, and is to come. I am all tenses in the present tense. And you'll never wrap your head around that one. He says, I am God, and I love you. I sent my son. Whoever calls on the name of my son, I will in no wise turn away. Man, what a promise. And Christians in America, way too often, will not confess Christ before man. Let me tell you something. I saw something in the White House the other day in the Oval Office that I've never witnessed. I saw a pastor that came back out of prison from Turkey sitting with the President of the United States and said, Mr. President, can I pray for you? Can you imagine the hell this man had went through in that Turkish prison for 2 years? Mr. President, can I pray for you? And he laid hands on the President of the United States and prayed a beautiful prayer for him. I have never witnessed that. I've never even heard about anything like that. Folks, you have to work so hard to reject Jesus's love. Now listen, God works in mysterious ways, and he works with a lot of mysterious people, and we got a lot of them in government. They're mysterious. But God's still in control. Don't we see that? But when the doors are open for Christ, you better believe I'll pray for my president, and I'll lift him up every day. And I'll ask God's protection upon him. And I'll ask for God's direction to continue to be in him. You better believe I will. Because you see, I know that God's providential power and authority is not withheld from the White House, the most powerful nation in the world. When God says, I love you, that's a bank you can take it to. And that bank's in heaven. And he said, Larry, come on up for your withdrawal. I'm going. I'm going because of who Jesus is. I'm going because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him be known. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And he says, won't you come in? And I'm riding this ride called life. Now you talk about a roller coaster. When you're in life, it is a roller coaster. Well, it's not just the inverted roller coaster. Folks, sometimes my roller coaster just starts spinning and going around, and I can't handle that. But you know, it is the Lord that keeps me in the seat. It is the Lord that says, don't worry, because you will get to the end of your journey. You know what else he says? What I have begun in you, I will finish. Jesus said that. What I have begun in you, I will finish. Whew. I thought I was going to let the Lord down. But you see, I didn't begin it in me. He did. That's who He is. And He came in me and He started a work. And He let me know, hey Larry, you can't finish it. You're too busy spinning on the roller coaster. What I begun in you, I will finish it. And it's a good work that I will do. Jesus said, I'm going to do a good work in you. And when I'm in you, I'll do a good work through you. Welcome to eternal life. Eternally living without fear. I'll never see death. Already, I can't see death. I'll be out of this and gone before this body ever hits the floor. I won't see it. It's a promise from God. No. You all got to look at it. I don't have to. I'm with Jesus. Because He is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, for Your truth. But Father, for Your promise. For such love. Lord, it's a love that none of us can even partially understand. But it is a love that we'll just accept upon Your promise. Thank You, Father, for touching us. Thank You for giving us the courage, the boldness to stand strong for Your word, for Your truth. Thank You, Father, for it is through You that we shall have that hope of a future. We ask Your blessing now to touch each heart. If there's any here, Heavenly Father, that do not know Jesus as their Lord, as You touch them, Father, help them to make that decision to follow Jesus. Help them to take a stand to say, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a part of the promise. I ask, Father, for Your protection upon each member. Guide and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.